here we go. Let's get these questions from the DMs.
Yep.
That's what I heard. So, what do you want to tell you? Hello, everybody, and welcome to That's What I Heard. My name is Lil Frex. We have once again changed the show. If you're watching on YouTube, you might notice it looks different. We're just experimenting, folks. What was my promise to the audience? I said episode 145 will still be just figuring things out. And I keep my promises to this audience.
Constant theme of the show.
How are you, Mike?
I'm good. I'm hanging in there.
Okay, not too much.
Yeah, got it. Okay, back to you.
Well, I could tell it was gonna go something dramatic. You're hanging in there, but what?
No, just hanging in there. Just been here a lot, you know, changing the studio around, doing all this stuff. It's just, you know.
You're a small business owner, a man with a vision.
Yeah, it takes a lot to run a business, man.
Takes a lot. I wouldn't know. Today we're playing it fast and loose. I just wrote down some topics, and that's what we're going to do. Number one, my DMs are closed to men.
They should have always been.
No, they've never been open sexually.
Okay.
But I always respond to nice comments. Okay. So if someone slides in with, I love the show, I respond, thank you so much. Right. And I can only take so much because they always take it too far. They always come in with a compliment, a normal compliment, and then it always goes off the rails. So my DMs are closed to men. And it always ends up like, can I fuck your feet? It starts with, I like the show. And it ends with, can I fuck your feet?
It gets there.
And I go, I don't want to do this. Yeah. How about that? I'm not a guy's girl.
No, you're not.
I'm not a guy's girl.
You're a man with no home.
I'm a man at sea. I'm like Ernest Hemingway. What was that show, The Man in the Sea? That's me.
Yeah.
Speaking of guys, girls. So last week's episode was interesting. While I was editing it, I go, wow, we had an hour episode and we truly did not even come up with the answer. What is a girl's girl? Hmm. And the answer is so clear. It's just having meaningful, deep friendships with other women. Mm-hmm. I think that was the simple and plain answer, but we had to fill an hour. The Grey's Anatomy thing really blew my mind that's where Pick Me Girl comes from. I actually was thinking about how much internalized misogyny I have.
Where do you think you have it?
All over my bones and in my blood as well. My red blood cell count is high.
What happens?
Too much misogyny.
What happens in life though?
I do. Interesting having the pod because you can really see yourself in large chunks.
Yeah.
And Sebastian pointed this out and I had never known it about myself or thought about it. But like when I'm doing a girl's voice, I'm doing like that mocking girl's voice. Mm-hmm. And I never knew I did that. Why do I do that? That's like internalized misogyny, I think.
Yeah. Like girls are annoying.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like traits that are also about last week's episode, we were speaking in very traditional heteronormative terms. And I guess everyone understood that, but it should have been more inclusive, I feel. I'm retracting myself right now.
You're retracting the whole episode?
I put myself on the stand. I'm on the stand right now, okay? Retracted. I didn't paint a full enough picture.
So what would you take? What would you do different?
Well, hold on. Back to how I hate women.
One thing at a time.
I do that voice. And it's very troubling to me because I didn't even realize that I do that. Like, if you go, oh, what did she say? And it's someone that I don't like, I'll go, she said, give me the baby to baby to baby to baby. And it's like, no, she didn't say it like that. She said it in a normal voice, but I'm giving it that tone because I have internalized misogyny. Now, what am I going to do about this? I have to rid it from my body.
How do you think you're going to do that?
I'm not. Okay. Let me be clear. I'm going to make no changes.
Understood.
And all my beautiful female friends, I'll throw them right under the bus. Okay? No, I'm kidding. I mean, I have very close friendships with females. You can't really have a close friendship with men.
As a woman?
As a human.
You think men don't have close friendships
no.
either?
No. One of my favorite Lisa Traeger bits, she's like, men have dinner twice and then they're in the wedding party. Two dinners. We go through everything together, ups and downs, heartbreaks, triumphs.
Yeah.
We know the ins and out. We cry. We sit down at dinner and every single person at the table starts weeping. And we just take turns with our check-ins.
Yeah. I think as a man, you just have like a, there's a lot simpler things to connect on. You know, it's basic. It's like, do you like sports? Do you like cars?
I do like those things. Right. So it's easier for me to connect with men. Sometimes I think that I haven't had a traditional female experience in the world. And maybe that's why I'm more susceptible. That's why I'm more susceptible to this internalized misogyny. Like when I do that voice, I got to stop doing that. Mm-hmm. Because I do have good friendships with men as well. But they are like about the NBA. I was at jury duty. Let me tell you something. I am going to work on the internalized misogyny, but not today. So let me tell you something. There are a lot of pick me girls at jury duty. A lot of pick me girls. Some people. Okay. I went to jury duty in downtown Brooklyn. And my name was the first name called out of the big room to go into the. When you go to jury duty, first you go to the big room. And then they start calling names. And then you go to the small rooms where you get questioned by the lawyers in the case to see if you'd be a good juror. Now, some people never get called out of the big room. So to be called first name, huge honor.
I'm sure you were thrilled.
Well, because I went in going, now, how am I going to get out? Like I went into the jury duty going, how am I going to get out of this?
Yeah.
But then once my name was called first, I go, is this my destiny to sit on this case? Mm-hmm. Because what we do know is I actually would be an amazing juror because I do see everyone's side.
Of course you would.
I believe in fairness. Yes. I actually, I wish I had another shot. But I went into the small room. This woman gets up and I'm not going to do a voice. Okay. This is growth. Mm-hmm. Okay. I am going to do a voice, but it's not going to be the girl voice. It's going to be the Long Island voice.
Okay.
Because she was Long Island.
Got it.
She goes, now this is a slip and fall case against the city of New York. I go, fuck, I'm not as interested in a slip and fall against the city of New York and the Department of Sanitation as I am in murder trial.
Of course.
But happy to hear them out. Slip and fall. It had to do with snow and ice. They can't tell you everything, but they go, Mr. So-and-so slipped. But then I immediately start making my own assumptions about the case.
Why wouldn't you?
Because they go, it was at in the morning. And then unrelated, they said, has anyone ever heard of like lounge or something? So I start connecting the dots. I go, that's probably a bar. This guy was leaving the bar mm-hmm. and slipped on ice. And haven't we all? Mm-hmm. And is that the city's fault? Now, how could a juror not be biased in a case against the city when basically it's like, if you find against the city in a civil trial, you, the taxpayer, are actually paying that money. So why the fuck would I give this guy money? So then they get to, I'm sitting there slip and fall, right? Then she goes, the judge in this case wants you to know, am I breaking the law by doing this?
I was wondering the same thing.
Hold on, is this illegal?
I think you can talk about it, but I don't know. Yeah, I don't know how much you can talk about
it. Okay, well, I haven't given any details.
Yeah.
So then she goes, the judge wants you guys to know that this trial could go 2 months. And she was locked eyes with me and she said that. And I go. So immediately I'm on her bad side. 2 months for a slip and fall? Come on. For the OJ trial, I'll sit all year.
Yeah.
But for a slip and fall, dude,
yeah.
2 months is a big commitment.
Yeah.
So then they go, does anybody believe there are too many lawsuits? I go, yeah, I do. I was the only one that raised my hand.
You know what? I think a lot of people don't work hard enough to get out of jury duty.
This is what I'm saying about the pygmy people. These people wanted to be on the jury. Then they go through this intense questioning. Everyone gets questions for like 20 minutes. They're going, do you think you could be fair? Blah, blah, blah. Everyone's going, yes. And I'm going, I already know who did it.
Yeah.
So, but here's the thing. I had to come back because I left a bad taste in her mouth by going in her face, which I understand. So I think she wanted to punish me because the whole first day passed till 5 o'clock. They didn't get to me for questioning. Mm-hmm. So they said, we have to come back tomorrow. It was me and two other people that didn't get to. Then we come back tomorrow. They never got to me for questioning and I had to go 2 days. And the whole time I was just preparing my remarks that I never got to give.
Right. So you had your case for getting out of jury.
I had my whole case.
Yeah, right.
It was.
But you did enough by going.
Was enough.
She was like, oh, fuck this bitch.
And then being the only person to say there's too many lawsuits.
Yeah.
Because then everyone's going, no, no, there's not too many lawsuits. We need it. And it's like, the truth is, sometimes unjust things happen and people need to be held accountable. And sometimes these lawsuits make it really hard for small businesses to operate. You know, I remember growing up, sometimes the parents wouldn't let you go in the pool because mm-hmm. they were afraid of getting sued. Mm-hmm. Now, what's the point of having the pool?
Right. It's a great point.
Okay. Someone gets drunk at work and falls down the stairs and sues the business. That business could go out of business. Mm-hmm. How many times did I just say business?
Probably too many. But
anyway, I was not chosen. But you know what? It really made me want to work in an office.
Why?
Because I never take the train at rush hour. Uh-huh. Those aren't my hours. On the train at rush hour, I'm like, man, it's a lot of people doing this lifestyle. Then you get down there, they have all these little lunch places around. I don't know. Everyone's just, it just seems like a simple way to live.
Well, it's downtown Brooklyn.
Downtown Brooklyn. Yeah, yeah.
Right. Yeah. So you want to be a busybody.
Kind of. I kind of want to. I feel like I'm at a crossroads where I either need to really work in the entertainment business or really leave the entertainment business.
Yeah.
And work at the courthouse.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'd be okay with either option.
Do you think so?
I could be happy not being in the entertainment business and but like still having a podcast, still having mm-hmm. but like being a mom in the suburbs and like working at an office, I think I could be happy with that. I'm dead serious.
Could you do a mom podcast, do you think?
I would love to do a mom podcast. But just like, you know, cook Sunday dinners.
Yeah.
Go to my 9 to 5. Go to CVS. So important. Mm-hmm. Constantly going to CVS.
Right.
Life is all about picking the kids up from this, doing that, having dinner with friends, have people over the house, you know. I think I could be okay with that. Anyway, so a lot of people were trying to get picked for that jury, so take that for what you will. I'm calling them pick me girls, but they were all genders, just right. To be clear. The males were the worst, actually.
Oh, yeah. Men want to be on a jury for sure. They want to have somebody's life in their hands.
I know.
That's such a man shit thing to do.
Losers.
Yeah.
Next order of business. I watched the Quiet on Set documentary on HBO. Mm. Did you watch it?
I have not yet. I've been putting it off because it seems pretty bad.
It's pretty bad. Hard to watch. So Quiet on Set is a documentary that just came out on HBO Max. And it basically is talking about our era, our golden years, right. The 90s Nickelodeon era, mm-hmm. and all of our favorite stars on all of our favorite shows and the abuse that was going on. Sexual abuse, emotional abuse, just general, not good. Yeah. I was really sick I was really sick to my stomach when I finished it.
Yeah. Yeah, really bad stuff. Does it hurt the case even more that Dan Snyder looks the way that he looks?
It's not good.
It doesn't help, right?
He looks like a cartoon.
Yeah.
Yeah, he looks like the cartoon of like a bad guy.
Yes.
He looks like
I've always thought that because
it's so crazy.
The allegations are not new that he did like inappropriate things.
But the Dan Snyder stuff is not as bad as
the executive stuff and like the coaches.
Like the people who sexually abuse the kids. Right. Although he might have too. But they don't say that explicitly in this doc. But like
they said, there was an investigation where he was acquitted of sexual wrongdoing. But I don't. Who knows what that actually means?
It made me feel. We've like made some jokes about Ariana Grande on this show. Mm. It made me really feel for her. Mm. And if she is slightly pickled in the brain, you can see why. Mm-hmm. They show these clips of how she was like sexualized on that show, like pouring water all over. It was just,
yeah.
It was really hard to watch. All these constantly doing scenes with like shooting substances on kids' faces that looks like cum shots. Mm-hmm. Yikes.
Just weird.
Just yikes, dude.
Yeah.
And then when I saw they play this footage, it's like absolutely hard to watch of Ariana Grande. And you go, you know what? Who could have come out mm-hmm. without a stain from that?
Yeah.
That's fucked. Now that she has a stain on her, I'm just saying like everyone's making fun of her dating relationship stuff or like, you know, her relationships with men or whatever. But I think that's probably pretty unfair. And I've done it too. So I am sorry.
Yeah.
It's probably pretty unfair when you see that environment that they came out of. Amanda Bynes. Jesus fucking Christ, dude. Yeah, I mean,
talk about a casualty.
Ooh.
I feel bad for Amanda Bynes to this day. And of course. I think people are still kind of making fun of her for stuff that she's putting on Instagram now.
Well, because she goes, hey guys, I just want to let you know I'm going to start wearing wigs. And then like presses up, like that's the video. And then the next day it's like, hey guys, I just wanted to let you know that I'm not going to be wearing wigs anymore.
I know, but that's, you know, she's got some problems and I just feel bad. I feel like she, like her nervous system is like,
that's so important that you brought that up. And I wouldn't know about that if not for my TikTok algorithm. But the way these kids' brains were fucking scrambled.
Right.
By being that age in this business and having those fucking predators around them will scramble your brain. And I will never say another bad word about any of these kids.
Yeah.
I also hear from people who work with the grown Nickelodeon stars today and the Disney stars that they're fantastic to work with.
Mm-hmm.
True professionals. They're like the child equivalent of like working Broadway actors.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
By now.
Because that school of that. They really trained them well.
If you've made it into your 20s and you're still relevant, and I mean, like Miley Cyrus, think of the slings and arrows that she must have taken.
She must have had great parents.
Yeah.
Because I think she did pretty okay.
Yeah. She had one weird public like growth phase.
Yeah, but her brain is like intact. And you can see it's intact when she speaks about her experiences. Everyone makes mistakes. That's just going to happen no matter what. But you can see that she's like lucid and the pathways are firing as they should.
Yeah.
The 90s Nickelodeon era was really a time to behold. Now, lest we not forget, during peak Nickelodeon, my cousin was the host of one of the big shows.
That's right.
Guts.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, was there any thing cooler than that?
Guts was awesome.
So good. That and Legends of the Hidden Temple. My goodness.
Shows you wanted to be on. They looked fun.
They're threatening to do a remake of Legends of the Hidden Temple.
Yeah.
With adults. Me and my stepbrother, Kevin, friend of the pod, submitted for it. We were not chosen.
Oh, that's a shame.
It is a shame.
I think you'd be good on Legends of the Hidden Temple.
We would be amazing, but they don't want people like us.
Who do you think they want?
Not people who are trying to make jokes and be like,
oh, yeah, okay,
funny and have a brand.
They want serious contestants.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just like, not that I'm not normal, but I mean, if it's lights, camera, action, baby.
Right.
I mean, you're going to,
You're
getting Hollywood fresh.
Right.
They don't want that.
100%. Before we move on from it, when that show was on, did it scare you when those guys used to jump out of the?
It terrified me. And when the Temple of Olmec would talk.
Yeah.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
Terrified.
It was like an exhilaration that I hadn't felt before.
It thrilled me beyond belief. I've been on the aggro crag.
Oh, have you?
Yes.
It took me a second to figure out what you're talking about.
That's the global guts, like every episode culminated in these children running up something called the aggro crag.
Right.
Which was like this fake mountain with booby traps and like the floors were like rollers and the smoke is coming out. And then they like drop a piano on you. All types of obstacles.
Were you there when it was on? Like, did you?
I went
to
a taping. So we went down to Florida. It's actually the only time I've ever like went on a plane with my family.
Yeah.
To this day, I think. Is that possible? We went down to Florida. I was probably in like first grade. We stayed like, I guess, my cousin Mike, he must have been in his like early 20s. What a fun thing to be doing.
It must have been awesome.
Just living down in Florida. Anyway, we stayed. He had like an extra room in his condo thing that they gave him. So we stayed there. So fun, dude. Then we went to a taping and then we went on the aggro crag after.
So what was it like as a kid having that dude be your cousin when that show was like?
It's like the only thing I talked about.
Right.
I'm like, that's my cousin. And then, okay. So then they would do these things, these disgusting award shows where they empower children and their choices
Yes.
Called the Kids' Choice Awards.
Yes.
Which I think is the root of millennial brain rot. Yes. I mean, yeah, to empower children in that way is sick.
Yep. You agree. Yeah.
And just be like, guys, let's all get together, talk about what you want.
Yeah.
And then you can dump slime on the adults.
Yeah.
And they wonder why we turned out a little entitled.
Yeah, yeah.
But they would do these. So he was often involved some way. They would do that thing called the Big Help, which was like a charity thing. But they would get all these like celebs of the time. And he was often like hosting or something. And any person that I saw him interact with, I would then go around at school and say that I knew them.
Like who?
Like LL Cool J.
Oh, that's awesome.
I would be like, I know LL Cool J.
I mean,
my cousin is best friends with him.
How could anybody call you
on it? I literally just saw my cousin go like this. Yeah. You having fun? And I go, that's, I know LL Cool J, just to be clear. I know nobody in this school respects me, but I know LL Cool J. What else did I do that was cringe? A lot. Pretending
long.
To know celebrities, yeah. pretending that I saw the Challenger spaceship explode was a big one.
Yes.
You can't convince me that I didn't.
Well, I mean, the timeline of history proves otherwise.
That's what I heard. That's what I heard. All right. We got a quick Kate Gate update.
Oh, great.
Kate Middleton, the search continues. Of course, hate to harp on this fact, but we are 5 days behind. So, you know, missing Kate has showed up. A video of Kate and William shopping at a farm stand was released. And I want to say with absolute certainty, that was not her.
How do you know?
If you zoom in, it's clearly not her.
Really?
Yeah.
It's just a picture of a different person?
It's like a video. Here's the thing. It's this weird grainy video, mm-hmm. right? Now, riddle me this. In the year 2024, where like an autistic child who lives in poverty can get a clear picture of the moon with their cell phone.
Yeah.
No one in the UK could have gotten a clear video. It's a grainy video. It's like shot on like an LG Envy. It looks like it was shot on a Sidekick.
Yeah.
That's sus to me. They also do this shit with the aliens. Every time like a video comes about aliens or something, it's shot in this grainy way where I'm like, where did you get the BlackBerry?
Yeah, right.
Was that the only thing available?
Yeah.
It's not her. However, I can now say with pretty good authority that I no longer believe anything suspicious is happening.
That's an interesting turn.
It's an interesting turn, isn't it?
Given that you just mentioned how suspicious this video was.
Well, it's not her in the video. I'll be clear about that. But it's clear that she just like had stomach surgery.
Yeah, you think that's what it is.
And she probably is pissing, shitting, and farting herself.
Right.
And she's not really up for being in public right now.
Sure.
She might have a colostomy bag.
You think that's what it is? Or you think it's like Maybe. A tummy tuck kind of thing? Could be whatever.
Who knows?
Yeah, it could be either.
Who knows? Could be bowels. It could be.
Right.
I keep bringing up Crohn's disease. Don't know what it is, but.
That you'd probably have likely. A colonoscopy bag for
seems,
that. Yeah.
Seems likely.
Yeah.
It could be a hysterectomy. It could be anything.
Right.
It could be an abortion. No, that doesn't take that long to recover.
I don't know.
Anyway, I just don't think that anything is happening anymore. So. Buckingham Palace is hiring a new communications assistant after this debacle.
Yeah, sure.
And guess where they posted it? A $32,000 job to work at Buckingham Palace.
LinkedIn?
Yes, they did post it on LinkedIn. Stars, they're just like us. Can you imagine? The royal family is posting on LinkedIn. Do you have a LinkedIn account?
I do, yeah.
Damn. I don't think I do.
I'm more on in like a behind the scenes professional, so I think I kind of have to.
That's true.
But LinkedIn is a boring place. And
boring.
It is very telling that they have they just posted the job on LinkedIn.
Isn't that crazy?
Hoping to find
somebody. The royal family. You don't have a headhunter?
Or you can't ask around? Like,
that's what I'm saying.
Ask the Prince of Spain who this guy is.
You don't have a hiring office?
Yeah, crazy. It's nuts.
That's how they got in this situation in the first place.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, how do you hire somebody off the street for that job? You got to have somebody close to you that you trust.
Also, $32K.
That's not good.
That's not good. Yeah. I don't know what the cost of living is over there, but I'm sure it's
not. Yeah.
Nah, I'm sure
you're the fucking royal family.
But then you know what? It doesn't say this in the job thing, but maybe they get to like live at Buckingham Palace.
Oh, so it's rent free.
Actually, I don't know. That can't be true. They're not having every communications assistant living at Buckingham Palace, but.
What a life that person will end up living.
I know, because it's like, how do you even dress to go to work at the palace? Like, what at Zara is gonna do?
Right. And with only $32,000, it's not like you're going and getting like custom made clothes like the prince.
But working for the royal family there is probably what working in these like managerial agent type jobs in Hollywood is in America, where it's like only rich kids can do it because they're the only ones that can afford to not make money.
Right, right.
So then you get this kind of class of, we love them.
Yeah.
This is no shade. But I'm sure that like, because, you know, our Hollywood is our royal family.
Exactly. Right.
So some soccer star, some football star's kid is probably going to take that job.
Yeah.
And we love that.
Yeah. Good for them.
I might try to get into soccer again. I forget where you stand on it.
I'm not a fan.
Not a fan.
Yeah. I prefer hockey, which is like the better version of.
But World Cup? You're a fan of the World Cup?
I think soccer is just like a boring sport. I can't get into it. I try every time the World Cup comes around, but it just doesn't work.
Buckingham Palace has said that Kate is, quote, working from bed. Now you got to love that.
Yeah.
What is she working on?
I was wondering the same thing.
You got to wonder. One of the things I loved most about that show, The Crown, I talked about it last week, seasons 3 and 4. You got to watch them, folks. Helena Bonham Carter's character, who's the, she's like the Prince Harry of that generation. She's the sibling to the heir. Mm-hmm. She's the spare. And this lifelong struggle she had to find purpose in her life. Because if you don't need to earn money, that kind of removes a lot of the stakes.
It sure does.
Of life.
Yes.
And so how do you find purpose in that?
I don't know. And I've been asking a lot of women on dates the same question. Some women.
You back up. I'm sick, fuck.
I'm just saying, I matched with somebody on Hinge
last
week.
And you say, well, how do you find purpose?
No. Not how do you find purpose, but somebody said to me, she's like 31 and she's like, I wish I was retired.
Mm.
And I was just like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah.
You have like more than half your life to live, probably. Right. What are you going to do if you're retired?
What are you going to do? It's because everyone loves the weekends. And everyone's like, imagine the weekend was every day. But then you don't want the weekend to be every day.
The weekend is sweet because you earn the weekend.
Right. You have to earn the weekend.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about getting like another random job. To fill the bravest void.
What kind of job are
you
talking about?
It's hard because it's like, I'm at a place in my life where I don't want it to be about ego, but I just feel like I don't want to be interfacing with the public anymore. You know what I mean?
I guess, but like what kind of gig is out there for you?
Like maybe like packing boxes.
Oh, you want to work in a warehouse?
Maybe. That could be fun.
Maybe.
I don't know if I have it in me to like interface with the public in a service capacity anymore.
Right.
I've done my time.
You know, they're not great jobs. Did you ever work retail?
No, actually.
Retail.
I worked production forever. Then I worked at a glass factory reception. Now that was a good time.
Do you consider production a service job?
Yes.
Kind of is, right?
You know what I would do though? I would go back to production and work like in the office. I can't be on set anymore. I'm just the feet, the knees, the back. Can't be standing around all day like this anymore.
Yeah.
Also, like, I don't have it in me to be like, what would you like for lunch?
Yeah.
This is what I'm like. I can't care about that.
I get that.
I don't care.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's hard to imagine working at another restaurant because it's like, hi guys, my name is Emma. Let me tell you about our specials. Could never do it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why I was so, that's why Bravis was so perfect for me.
Right.
Because you just roll over, what's up guys? How we doing?
Right.
What are we drinking? And then they go, what's the strongest IPA? I go, no problem, boss. Like that's all I can do.
But could you find another place like Bravis, do you think?
I've had that experience. So.
No, you want to move
That
on.
Wouldn't be fulfilling to me.
Right.
I need something that doesn't take too much of my time. So this is why this job doesn't exist.
Right.
Doesn't take too much of my time. I can work with my friends. I can drink at work.
Right. All right. We're really narrowing
we're
it down.
We're making cash only. Yeah, I don't know. Just something to think about. Maybe like, this is crazy. But like slicing deli meats, like the deli person.
Everybody's gravitating to meats.
Well, that's my passion. Yeah, the deli, like a sandwich maker. I would be like a pizza counter person because that's not waitressing. That's just like people come to you.
Yeah, right.
And then you go, Lewis, cheese pie, Lewis, cheese pie.
Yeah.
Your order is ready. That could be fun.
Yeah. Think of one specific place.
I know exactly where I would work. I would just manage the owners.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, what did I say? Message the owners.
Yeah.
Anyway, so just putting that out there. I'd like to have some other random experience. Life is all just about collecting experiences. The way that I've done the entertainment business is almost incomprehensible.
In what way?
Most people go, I want to be in the entertainment business. And then they have the ultimate thing they want to do. But until that, they'll like get jobs in writing rooms or like
right.
producing or something. I didn't even choose this consciously. This is just what I did. I don't know. There's no choices involved. But I was like, I'll be over here preparing. And when it's my turn to tag in, I'll be ready.
Right.
Like I'll be over here collecting all these random life experiences.
Yeah.
Because the only thing that, not the only thing, but something that I think gives me value is my point of view. And I wouldn't have had that if everything had gone the way I wanted when I was 25 and right. I had ended up working in these writer's rooms. I wouldn't be who I am.
Right.
And I wouldn't have this like perspective, like this point of view on life, which I can now use to turn into creative endeavors. Mm-hmm. But that's not how most people do this business. And I couldn't in good conscience recommend anyone else try it. Someone was like, hey, can I take you out for coffee? I'd like to like know, you know, how you ended up doing what you're doing. And I was like, I would love for you to take me out for coffee, but I could not in good conscience recommend that anyone tries what I've done.
Right. Like, right. Right. Right.
It's so ass backwards what yeah. I did.
Well, you have a bit of an acting background. Like
my mom is an actress.
Right.
But that's why I have resentments towards acting.
Yeah. And it kind of goes against what you were saying has been like your roadmap, which is like having these life experiences. When I was in acting school, I felt the same way.
You were
way
in acting school?
Yeah, yeah.
Don't just come in here and say something like that. Back the fuck up. Put the camera on you. I got to do something bad.
Oh, what you doing over there? Oh boy. Yeah, no, I did. I'm like trained, but not like full school. I didn't go to like a conservatory. But
where'd you go, Barrow Group?
No, I was in the Freeman studio.
Yeah, it sounds familiar.
Yeah. But the people that I was acting with, a lot of them were like actors who didn't have like real life experience. So we'd like play a part. They'd be like, all right, we need you to play like a criminal. Right. And these people would be like, oh no, see? Yeah.
And they've never even pulled a gun on someone. Right, right. And I'm like, I'll do the things.
Right.
So then like when it's my, and I'll keep, you know, my balls in the air also in the business.
Yeah.
But when it's time to, what do we say, Mike? Put it all together.
Put it all together. Right.
I've got the pieces going strong.
Right.
Many different pieces we could put together here.
Yeah.
Now, will this work? We don't know yet.
I think it will. I have a lot of faith.
Yeah.
It's a very exciting time for you.
Well, we've gotten a lot of passes. I'll just say that.
But like I said, we were texting about it last week. You're in the room, babe.
Yeah. You want the yes.
Of course.
You want to close. Yeah, we've gotten a lot of passes. dealing with rejection is interesting. Like when you first get that, if anyone's listening, I've been like trying to make deals in the business. So I've been out and about.
Pitching.
Yeah. And so far no offers, but it continues. So, but when you first get that, when you first get that no, your bones turn to jello. You know that feeling?
Yes.
It's just like all the life sinks out of you and you go jello bones. And then you come back. It might last all night. Yeah. Jello bones. Have you ever had that before?
Yes. Not because I got passed on a TV pitch, but I've gotten passed on other things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I know the feeling.
Yeah.
Your heart sinks into your asshole.
Yeah. Jello bones. Yeah. We should make t-shirts that say jello bones. But then, okay. So I went jello bones a little bit this week when I got a no. Then I listened to the Kacey Musgraves album. Mm. My goodness. Did I come apart?
In a good way?
I was in a million little pieces on the PATH train. Crying.
Yeah?
The album is beautiful. I'm not really following Musgraves' career, but now that I'm in my kind of country era, beautiful album. If you want to weep in public. It was so emotional that I had to quickly go to DMX so that I could make it home alive. And I just listened to Only I Can Stop the Rain. Y'all gonna make me lose my mind up in here.
Guys, girl.
See how I, but Musgraves is girls, girl. So see how right. I went from girls, girl to guys, girl.
You do both.
I am the Venn diagram. Yeah. I can bridge the gap. New York State Attorney General is preparing to seize Trump assets in Westchester County if his $464 million judgment is not paid. Now, to be honest, I looked at the article. I didn't actually read which case this is.
Perfect.
464. What would that be for? The libel case? Eugene Carroll, maybe?
I think it's the Carroll case, yeah.
Okay.
I believe.
We'll go with that. So, one of the things that she's preparing to seize is his golf course in Westchester County called Trump National Golf Club. Now, I don't know if I've talked about this on the show before. Have I? That before it was Trump National Golf Club, it was called Briarcliff Manor Country Club. And guess who worked in the restaurant there?
Little Frex?
No, friend of the pod, my father.
Oh, okay.
So when I was a child, he worked in the restaurant and then it was, and then this club, he worked there and it was bought by Trump. Mm-hmm. And his boss, the chief operating officer of that club was that lady, Carolyn Koepcher, who ended up being on The Apprentice. Mm. That was my dad's boss. And then guess who the caddy was? It's like a who's who. This country club is like a who's who of the White House. The caddy was this guy, Dan Scavino, who ended up being Trump's deputy chief of staff. The caddy.
Crazy.
Okay.
See, listen, this is what the royals have to do. Trump keeps all his people close.
He keeps his people close, bro. My dad was not a fan of Trump. I'm pretty sure I've talked about this before, but I can't remember. That for Christmas, he gave all the employees signed headshot of himself.
That is great. I don't know.
And then me and my brother put it up in our room and we threw darts at it.
Great.
How sick is that?
Yeah. It is amazing how every New Yorker fucking hated that guy and he became president anyway.
Imagine he's like your boss. Yeah. And you like work in the country club restaurant. God. I can't remember what my dad did. If he was, I don't know. Hmm. He might've been the manager of the restaurant. I'm not sure. But we would roll up to that place. We had a Westphalia minivan from the 70s or 80s. It was like a, didn't have any colors, like a gray. I wouldn't even call it silver. It was like a gray. Mm. And we would, and there was no seat in the back. It was like the, so you'd sit on the floor and then there was a little bench towards the very back, but mostly you'd sit on the floor. We would roll up to the Briarcliff Manor Country Club and get out of that van. Be like, hey, I'm looking for my dad. They're like, you can use the service entrance. I know why we talked about it, because Atlantic City. Because,
oh, yes.
Because I think I said on the pod, like, oh, Trump gave people a free night at his Atlantic City casino, like the employees. And then after that pod, my dad called me. He said, it wasn't free. I paid for that.
Oh, no.
I said, oh, no. Oh, no. We had the fourth last night at the Bravest this past weekend.
So it was a celebration of you guys working together.
It was the fourth goodbye party.
Right.
So.
At what point do these just become you guys?
When did we just work there again?
Or that?
Yeah. How long till we just work there again?
Right.
Yeah, it was fun. I was home by 10, but still so fucking hungover.
Yeah.
Three drinks. Done.
Telling you, man.
Is this the most low energy pod we've done in 44 episodes? I kind of like it though.
We had the first time we wore the headphones.
Yeah.
When you guys wore the headphones, right. Was low energy.
This is so low energy, but yeah. But I think about it, like you're doing the dishes.
It's soothing.
You're dusting your room.
Yeah.
And I'm just running my mouth.
Yeah.
About Westfalia Vans.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe you're drifting off to sleep. You ever go to sleep listening to one podcast that kind of puts you out and then it just goes to the next one? And it's like the next one is like Joe Rogan interviewing Fran Drescher. And you just wake up in a cold sweat. How could this be?
Yeah.
How could this be? March Madness starts today.
Yes.
Well, if you're listening to this, not the day you're listening to this. Now, here's my prediction.
Mm-hmm.
This year, this is based on nothing. You're asleep.
I'm listening. What are you
talking
about?
No, but I just saw you fall asleep. But
no,
I like that. No, it's sleepy vibes today. That's okay. We should do more ASMR. Here's my prediction based on nothing.
Mm-hmm.
This year, the women's March Madness will be bigger than the men's March Madness. Men's March Madness is done. I'm pretty sure. I tried to get into it last year. I mean, it has all the hallmarks of something I would go for. I hated it.
Right. Gambling, basketball.
I hated it. Brackets.
There is a lot of talk in the media about supporting your point that this could be the year that the women's college bracket.
Because there's actually players that people are like hyped about.
Right.
Like I know one of the players' names.
Right.
Caitlin Clark.
Angel Reese. Right.
And then there's another one. Can't remember. Now, see, I don't know her name.
All right, but you know two more than the men's side.
I know her spirit. I couldn't name a single one on the guy. I can't name a single guy, one on the guy side.
Me either.
And so think about, so we're getting to know these women at this early stage. This could translate into us being like, let's follow their careers. Like, mm-hmm. Let's watch more WNBA games. Like, this could be really big.
Yep.
And it's all happening because the men shuck.
So could you see yourself becoming a WNBA
player?
Or yes, player,
I
yeah.
I have the height. I have the wingspan.
Can you ball though?
Dude, I'm like Mitchell Robinson. I could ball, but I can't dribble and walk at the same time.
You're all defense.
I'm all under the rim. Put it up.
Okay.
I played, obviously, with height. See, people think I'm short. People message me all the time. Like, what's your height? Like, you give short vibes.
Mm-mm.
No. Gigantic. Is what you don't understand, folks. Gigantic. I played ball until ninth grade. And then in ninth grade, I hit one of those crazy like half court buzzer shots, which is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Went up into the stands, started high-fiving, just like really hamming it up.
Of course.
And then I got benched for showboating.
No shit.
And then that started a really bad attitude.
Yeah.
Where I was like, if I'm not on the A team, I'm not on this team. I didn't know how to be a team player. Mm-hmm. Now I do. Now I love being on a team. I'm a great team player. Back mm-hmm. then, no idea.
Right.
It was all about me. And then I had my first Newport.
end of the basketball.
And then
career.
We were done. And that was the end of that. But I forget what I was. I was having a bad day sometime last year. I forget when or why. And I went and I walked and I just bought a basketball. And it was pouring rain. And I started shooting the basketball in the rain. Mm-hmm. Like an autistic kid.
Yeah.
Smiling, laughing, like Drew Barrymore. Mm-hmm. Whimsy of a child.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll do that again. Why did I get into this? Oh, could I be a WNBA fan? Yeah. Can like, I'm down. What I like about the NBA is the storylines. Mm-hmm. I like that they're stars. I like that they do the walk-ups, the fashion walk-ups.
Yeah.
I like that they, it's just like, to me, the NBA is the most, has the best culture and the most like American, see people say it's football, but to me, the NBA is the most American culture. Does NFL, do they have like the meme and like the NBA Twitter, they have anything they comparable to the meme culture that the NBA has?
The difference with the NFL is that since everything's going on at once on Sundays, primarily, that it's like people are watching the whole thing happen. Whereas like NBA Twitter is specific, I think, to like you have hubs where you have teams. People care more about the Knicks than the NBA as
a
whole.
Yeah, I'm on Knicks Twitter.
Right.
You know who else is on Knicks Twitter? Ben Stiller.
Yeah. The leader of Knicks Twitter.
He is the leader.
Loves it.
These pauses are so good. I want to just let them live because when I go back and edit the episode, sometimes I can see myself panicking in a moment of silence.
Yes.
And just trying to fill the air with anything.
Yeah.
So today I was practicing, just let there be moments. Next week, I've decided the episode is going to be about me learning to interview like Howard Stern. Mm.
Do we have an interview?
We have someone.
Okay. Will you tell me off mic?
Of course.
Okay, good. Got it.
Of course. I don't want to say it on mic in case it's completely fake.
That's the move.
That's my move.
Never tease until it's in the can.
All right, everybody. I hope you're drifting off to sleep. I hope you have a great night and day. Drop a comment on the YouTube. And please also comment on Apple Podcasts. Thank you for being here. I love you. Good night.